The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Listening to Beyond the Veil, The Secret World.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Beyond the Veil. Let's go crazy.
This week on...
John's gone crazy!
Okay, no I'll tricks. Go first. Okay, I'll try to keep him in the middle so that in case he spews something...
Run. Now this one you have to have your thing on.
What thing on? What?
Damnation. I'm gonna beat all you guys.
Okay, I'm off. He's got me...
And now his little friend comes.
Okay.
I wasn't on him. I was on the priest.
Okay. I'm off.
You guys don't like my loot? I thought it was very appropriate for the night. What do you think, Glatrix?
Hi.
He likes it.
Sorry. At one point, everything just went completely, like, berserk.
Lay down your arms. Give up the fight. 21 guns, throw up your arms into the sky. No, I'm still not there yet.
Yes, Beyond went crazy this weekend. We did all kinds of really cool stuff, like elite missions, doing it four-manned. And, yeah, singing did ensue. Hilarity did not follow a little bit. And I'm Xander. Welcome to this week's show. We have Antita in the house. How are you, Antita? Antita.
You just know that Faye's going to use that in his Beyond Gone Crazy segment. But I'm doing very well. Looking forward to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still baffled why people are starting to ask me how I am now. Faye, how are you?
I am great. Yes, it's true. I am great. How about you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to answer. I can't even answer that in a rhyme. You know, like, yeah, I'm good. Glatrix, how are you this evening?
I am great as well. I am just picking something to wear for the show.
Ooh, Latrix is getting fanciful. And Rowan, word up.
Howdy, how are you guys?
I think we all are okay. Yes, we have a little bit of stuff to talk about tonight. It's not going to be an overly long show. It's kind of been, you know, lackluster in info this week. But we have, you know, a brand new segment tonight. We're going to be playing that in a little bit. Plus, we also have, you know, Bade's Big Deck. That's going to be coming up. Plus, Fee's Fashion Files, or Fashion Weekly, or whatever that was. I don't remember. Plus, we also have Last Time. But first on the docket, we do have to remind you that, yes, you know, help Funcom decide July subscriber item of the month. Remember to go to the forums and look it up. Have you guys had a chance to look at the cool prizes that's going to be coming down the pike?
Yes.
Are you a little bit excited?
For some.
For some or all?
I don't know. There's some stuff I don't necessarily want, because I don't even understand how you would see the wristwatch. If it's anything like the necklaces, it may be hard to see.
Yeah.
Or like the tactical earpiece that everyone seems to want. That's going to be kind of hard to see too, I think. That's going to cause some clipping
issues. I do not care. It's going to be cool. I voted for that.
And me too.
If I can't see in night vision, I don't want night vision goggles.
Yeah, that might prove to be a bit harder, you know, to actually see through them. Maybe in a cutscene, but you would have to. I don't even know what that would involve, but I'm pretty sure it would involve a lot of work.
Yeah, so I want the eye patch. Arg.
Yes, the choice.
What's up with Fedora? Don't we already have a Fedora hat?
Yes.
I'm wearing one
so
right now.
So why on earth is it one of the options? And 146 people voted for it. That I don't get. Am I
maybe
like,
they don't
missing
like
something?
Running, maybe they don't like running the dailies to get the Fedora?
Yeah. Or they, you know, it could be a completely different one because of the Indiana Jones hat that we have. We still haven't even went and found out what the actual name of the hat is, for one. You know, bad.
Well, you can't, because it's a mix of three, right?
Well, it has a name. It has a name.
Yeah,
I need to go to Indiana Jones.
It's named after the guy that he got the hat from. That's the actual
name.
You
mean the creator?
Is of the guy. No, not the creator. The guy. Remember, he got it from the guy that he, like, beat up.
You know, the guy.
Or something. That guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, the other archaeologist.
Yeah. He, like, beat him up and killed him. Another archaeologist? Oh, okay.
No, a dead old one?
No. It was a fairly swashbuckling guy in the first scene who owned the hat and Last Crusade. And at the end, he's like, "You didn't win this time, kid, but that doesn't mean you have to like it." And he gave him the hat.
I gotta rewatch those.
You do need to rewatch. If you can't remember that, then your assignment this weekend is to watch that trilogy. Forget the fourth film. It doesn't count.
Hey, I like the fourth film. How about?
Yeah, a lot of people call it the Panama hat, too.
Yeah.
And the Panama hat is completely different.
Yeah.
In fact, the other dude that stole that cross of Coronado, he was wearing a Panama hat, as was
yes.
Belloc. Belloc was wearing a Panama hat in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know why I'm the lore guy.
But eye patch is coming up, I have to say, a distant second.
I found it! Yes,
did you?
I have found it. Aha! The hat is called The Poet. I am on the official Indiana Jones store hat site. And it is called, maybe I'm wrong. The Poet. Anyway, you guys keep going. I'm going to just reading because I'm going to get the names of the three hats that they used.
we were looking at,
what are the
basically,
items?
Yeah, the items are these. Fedora. Headphones, tactical earpiece. Now, the pronunciation of this, my pronunciation of this might be wrong. Ushanka or Ushanka, whichever, which is basically a big fur Russian hat. Balaclava is the next one. Then night vision goggles, Danny Dufresne t-shirt, surgical mask, wristwatch, and eye patch. And so far, tactical earpiece is in the lead with 21, roughly around 21.5% of the votes. And eye patch is coming, like I said, a distant second with just over 14% of the vote. And Fedora is a close third in with 13.5%. So, there is a fight for second place.
Yes. And it is called Poet. The hat's official name is The Poet. And the color of the hat is called Sable. Ooh. See? I told you. I knew it had a name. It had a name. And I was right. Yay.
Cool.
Sorry.
But basically, what Funcom had said through Moritea on the forums is that all of these items if not all of them, then the majority of them have already been made. And they will be released at some point in time. So this is just a poll to actually see which item is going to be released first. So that's good news for all those people who vote for something that, you know, comes in the last place. Eventually, yes, you will get it too.
I'd kind of like to see the Urshanka. I kind of like to see that because when you're in Transylvania and you get attacked by the werewolves, then you get cold. And then you have to find, you know, a fire, you know, a fire bucket or, you know, something or campfire to warm up. I like to see that, you know, come with, you know, this little buff that you don't get cold because you have a nice furry headpiece. You know, it gives a little bit of purpose to it kind of thing. But I think I agree with Faye on the tactical earpiece. I actually voted for the eye patch because I would think that'd just be hella cool to have an eye patch. Because my character actually has a scar over his eye, which all my characters do for some reason. But yeah, has a scar over the eye because he was in, you know, he was in the army before he became super powered. So I like the eye patch. But a lot of the dungeons and everything I do, I wear my battle kind of uniform. So I would like to have, you know, the earpiece. But I agree with Faye, it would take up a face slot, which therefore you wouldn't be able to wear sunglasses. You know, just like. Right now, the bandana in the game, one of the bandanas I like to wear, takes up that face slot too, so I wouldn't be able to use the bandana, because I can't wear sunglasses with the bandana unless I take the bandana off, which I look cool with the bandana too, I think anyway. Yeah, that's my little rant. Hey. Which item are you looking forward to, Rowan?
Oh, the eye patch sounds kind of cool. Most of the rest, like Faye said, the earpiece and stuff, I'm not really sure what the point of the minor accessories. I know they're visible to your character, but a lot of other people won't be able to see them at all.
Yeah, I think just a lot of people have been asking for it, so Funcom is trying to do their best to keep the players happy. And, you know, it's actually funny. If all of these have either been made already or are in some sort of development stage and will be released. So, you know, the way it looks is they're giving the players the choice of what's going to come out for July. But it's basically, you know, throwing the bone out there, making people think that they are having a say, where in fact it's already been created and it's going to be done. But on a plus note, yeah, they're keeping the players happy and they will eventually all get what they want. So that's very positive.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're going to do this every month, or basically they're just going to now take all these items and based on who won, who's second, who's third, that's like what you will get from now on.
I think because that's something that's happened with a lot of MMOs. Put out a poll. The thing is, okay, a whole whack of people went and actually, you know, put up their suggestions. Okay, so now the designer went and picked out whatever these suggestions here. Now, pretty much, these are based off, a lot of these are already in-game. Okay, I don't know about the hats, but I think I seen a pair of night vision goggles. They're not very hard to make. You already have goggles as a base, right? I know I've seen a wristwatch at one point. I do believe I've seen an eye patch. We all seen tactical earpieces because, you know, Orochi wear them. Headphones, yes, we've seen headphones. Fedora, we already have one in-game. They're probably just going to reskin it, give it a new texture or color, you know, just as a simple reskin. Danny's t-shirt, already in game. All I have to do is just take off that graphic, put it on a t-shirt, boom, you're done. And surgical mask, already in game. A lot of these things are already there. They already have the models. Now, based on other MMOs, I think you're going to find that, okay, first place... whoever gets first place, the tactical earpiece will come out next month. And then the month after that, you'll find second place, whoever wins. This all ends this Saturday. So whoever finishes in second place will probably come out the month after, and so on and so forth. And actually, I think that's kind of a cool idea, because here's your shopping list. These are things that you've asked for. And like Antita said, you've asked for this. So Funcom is like saying, hey, yo, go guys, you know, we're doing this for you. Because there was that big, humongous debacle. Well, not really a debacle. It's not really humongous either. But a lot of people were a little bit irritated, you know, over the horse head. You know, even though it was kind of funny, kind of cute, stuff like that. You can wear it in PvP. People can still see you. Still see the horse head. You know, I ran into that during PvP. But a lot of people were still not happy with it. So they had an idea in mind, but now they've given it control basically to us, and now we've decided. So earpiece is coming, whether we like it or not.
I don't think it's going to take one piece to be released per month. I think they might release them through the item store as well.
Maybe variations. Maybe they might put an earpiece, because as a veteran and a veteran player and as a subscriber, we're entitled with our subscription. We're entitled to one free gift a month. And that's what this poll is for, the one free gift. So this year will become a free gift. Now, I almost definitely certain that maybe if we just get the tactical earpiece, maybe in a later installment on the item store, you might see the like that chick in the Urachi camp in Egypt. She wears those cool sunglasses with the tactical earpiece. You might see that come up. You know, so you put that on your face, boom, you have sunglasses and an earpiece.
Maybe, those are cool.
Uh-huh. And maybe the Blankov, or what is it called?
Balaclava.
The balaclava. And the other hat, you might get different variations. You might even get one from Fargo, you know, playoff from Fargo, that movie, and stuff like that. I could see that happening, but these specific items will probably come free to us, yeah.
Okay.
At least I'm hoping, because that would be kind of a negative backlash. I don't know. What do you think, Rowan? Would that be kind of a backlash if went and say, hi, what's free? What's your free item that you want? And then put all the rest in the item store.
Well, one of the free players, so to speak, the people that are contributing to the item store, I'll put it that way. How about that? Mm-hmm. I will say that I can... Some of the more exotic things, like the mask, the horse head, I can understand, you know, doing something special for the veterans, but some of these I would like to see in the item store, you know, because basically, I don't know, that's just how I see it, you know. Okay, make the Danny Dufresne, maybe that's not one of the popular ones, but make something that's unique for the veterans, but... then I don't mind having the rest go into the item store either. What do you guys think of that? I mean, like you said, the backlash, there's a tension almost between the veterans and the people that, you know, would just like to have it in the item store. The veterans, not everybody, but a lot of veterans are like, you know, well, I'm a veteran, I should get something unique and special. Where other people are maybe saying, well, you know, you got it for free and I'm paying for it kind of thing. I don't know. But of course, it's not free. It's your $15 a month investment. Maybe, you know, when you were got a lifetime.
Actually, I really don't have a problem with, you know, get it for free versus, you know, free to
someone
play
else having to pay it.
I really don't have a problem personally. Me, there are, you know, there are people, a minority of people out there that would oppose that. I'm not sure. What would you think, Galatrix? I think you're a lifetimer, right?
Yeah, I am.
Would you be opposed to any of these coming up onto the item store too for players to purchase?
I don't know. I mean, what happens if someone buys them and then the next month they come out for free?
Well, I don't think they would do that. At least not. The items would definitely not be identical. I think what they might do is release it first as a free item for the subscribers. Then, you know, a month or a few weeks down the line, or maybe even longer, release it in item store, slightly altered, maybe.
Yeah.
I think they would first release it to their subscribers as a free item, because like what Xander said, this list has been composed by people who would like to get it. That implies that, you know, they are subscribers, and this is just one of the things that they would like to see as their free item of the month. So I don't think they would be first released in item store only to be released as a free item to the subscribers. I think they would just be looking for trouble on Funcom's part. So I think it would be the other way around. First, it would be released as a free item of the month. And then, you know, maybe in a slightly altered version, or even if it's the same, but, you know, released in item store later on.
Well, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with Antia there. It would definitely come out, like, say they kept with the, you know, first, second, third philosophy, you know, 1 month it would come out, you know, say it was a tactical earpiece. The next month it's the eye patch. But when the eye patch comes out to the subscribers, then the tactical earpiece would get put into the item store for buying for non-subscribers.
With a special reskin, I would think. If you take case in point, like the outfit that Antita's wearing right now, it's called, what, Bushido Streets or something like that?
Yep, yep.
So that outfit she paid for in the item store. It's an exact reskin. Okay, it's an exact duplicate of a dragon. I think it's a dragon deck. There's in one of the dragon decks on the, if you have a female K'Toon, there's another one called like Bushido or Samurai or something like that. It's an exact same outfit, completely the same, except for it's reskinned to look cooler.
Yep. You're exactly right there.
Yep. So you have your free skin. You have the free one that's already made. So if you have a dragon, you go complete the deck. You get the clothing reward, right? So just like here, the iPad, or like say, okay, the tactical earpiece. Boom. Veterans will get, veterans and subscribers will get the tactical earpiece, right? Boom. We have it. Yay. We got it free. You know, maybe the following month, just like with the Bushido Streets, they come out with an identical costume, but better colors, and everyone can pay for it, right? So it's the same, yet it's reskinned. It's not the same. Now, I could say the same thing for the tactical earpiece. The earpiece that we would get for free would be like the stock version. Okay, we can get this one out. Now we'll make a cooler one. You know, maybe we'll add like something to it, or just reskin it, or we'll add sunglasses to it for the players that want sunglasses and an earpiece. We'll put that in the item store. So not only will the players that don't have the earpiece will want to go and buy it on item store. Now the veterans.
Hey, it could be renamed to an iStore. Why not?
Oh, there you go. Here you go, vote optical. But even the veteran players that have the free earpiece will say, hey, I like that one better. Technically, it's not the same, but it's better because it has glasses. Boom, we'll buy that one. So it's like a win-win. The community get what they want. Then they upgraded it, put it into the store. Now everyone can get that, you know, kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking that will happen. I don't know. What do you think, Gladrix?
I think that makes sense.
You see, another thing that makes me think they're not going to wait with these items to be released free one per month in, you know, the next 10 months, is the post that Maritea put up on the forums. It says, and seeing as this is going really well and people are enjoying it, we'll probably be doing it again soon. So that's what made me think initially that this is just going to be, you know, deciding on the free item for just July, whereas the rest, I guess it also depends on how the developers actually complete the items. That might have something to do, you know,
of course,
with how they're going to be released and when. But that's what makes me think that they will put up, you know, another set of options. Maybe 2 months down the line, 3 months down the line, maybe even, you know, for August, free item of the month. They might continue along those lines and let actually people choose what they would like to have every month. So, and for the rest, you know, just to be released in item store.
You know, I have a slightly different theory about that, and then after we'll sidestep to another poll that I like to bring up. But my theory is the dun-dun-dun that she had referred to, Funcom's one-year anniversary, or sorry, the Secret World's one-year anniversary is going to be coming up soon. Now, for those of us who have been in MMOs for a long time and have been to one-year anniversaries, two-year, or any anniversaries, usually, I'm not saying that they're going to do it. Maybe some of the cast here that's played the other Funcom games, maybe they might know of this so they can speak up after. But normally, an MMO will give out free prize or something free or some kind of a prize or something you can win in game. And with this, maybe they might have a couple things lined up and they might give us a choice of what it is. Or maybe they'll give us multiple things and you can only choose one. You know, maybe that could be, you know, something that they might come up with. Another poll, choose the prize for the one-year anniversary. I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
They might do that. Well, the July is the one-year anniversary, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm not sure how that's different than what they're doing now.
But this would be for the veteran reward, or not the veteran reward. This would be that one little prize they give out every month. So
who knows?
This
maybe
might
they'll
be...
release all of them.
Oh yeah,
it's free.
You could do that.
Just for, you know, because it is their anniversary.
Yeah. Or as we get closer and they start releasing details about their anniversary, they might come up with, you know, something special just for everybody. You know, not just for, like, this here, this case in point, July's item of the month is something that only subscribed and grandmasters can get. So maybe they might come up with something here for our anniversary. This is what we're thinking of doing. What would you like? And they might come up with something that everybody can have.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's true.
That is something that has to be put out. I think a vast majority of people would love to do that dance in-game.
I think it'd be better than Gangnam Style, yeah.
Oh, far better.
Uh-huh. Now, I wanted to sidetrack. Rowan, you have a very cool post that you put up on your website and a poll to go with it. You want to tell us, everyone? Tell us, everyone, about it?
Yeah, well, the other day on Twitter... As many people may know, Rift Tryon Worlds just recently announced that they're going to convert Rift to a free-to-play option. I guess it's a hybrid, much like TSW. There'll still be a subscription option with perks for members, but everybody else will be able to play for free and finance the game through the cash shop. And so I had several people that I follow on Twitter basically say, hey, I guess this is the end of my time with Rift, because they don't want to be involved with a free-to-play game for various reasons, mostly because they think that the quality will go down, the frequency of updates and stuff like that. Without debating the merits of free-to-play versus subscription-based games, it occurred to me that, you know, it's something that people are like, what would incur? Basically, I thought what would be an inducement, or what would encourage people to go to the cash shop. And so I came up with various options like high-level gear, cosmetic items, much like what's in TSW, temporary boosts, like elixirs and what have you, stuff like that. And so there are various choices. And then I thought, well, obviously some people are discouraged or don't like those items in game and or in the cash shop, and it may actually discourage them completely from playing the game at all. And a lot of things that come up, of course, are like high level gear, you know, the whole pay to win scenario. So I came up with a question for that, and then I put it on the blog post. And right now you can go to my blog at ihavetouchedthesky.blogspot.com and vote in the right column. It's just two quick questions as to what would induce you to spend money in the cash shop, and what would be a disincentive, what would keep you from spending money in the cash shop or even playing a game if they offered certain items in the cash shop.
Now, I went there, and revenue models would encourage you to spend money points in an MMO cash shop. Under that, you had, yeah, high-level gear, cosmetic items, temporary boost, random lockboxes, subscription, currency stipend, and none of the above. I only want to play for free. I actually went and put cosmetic items. I love cosmetic items. So that's the thing that I went and picked. I don't know. What did you guys pick?
I think I picked pretty much the same thing. Because I think high-level gear, I definitely would think that people would work toward it. Otherwise, what's the point in playing it, you know? And, temporary boosts and or buffs, yeah, that would depend very much on what they are. If it's something, you know, something small, quote-unquote smallish, then maybe yes. But if it's something of a bigger value, then I would not want to have it as an option to pay. Like Funcom, what they've done is, and I'm so totally against it, buying AP points. Even though there is a limit to how much you can buy per week, I still think that was a bad idea.
I wasn't too keen on that either. But you can actually buy veteran weapons and gear in the Funcom, the shop here in the Secret World. But, you know, side by side with other quality 10 blue gear, they're not as strong. So that's kind of the tip off. That's why I was, yeah, okay, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, but no, I chose cosmetic items.
Yeah, and the one thing that would discourage me from spending was high-level gear, because at that point, it's pay to win. And that's one thing I do not endorse, is pay to win.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I actually went kind of the same route as far as discourage, but encourage. I actually went with the random loot boxes because I actually spend money in Defiance on those all the time.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I bought one. It's a one-armed bandit.
Glatrix, what do you think of the... Glatrix had to go to the bathroom. Oh, I don't know. Have you played... Faye, have
He's
you
dropping
played
off a random loot box.
Yeah, really.
Oh, man.
Oh my god, Star Trek Online, you know, I love the game, love the community, but...
Oh my god, I remember that.
But the lockboxes are completely crazy. It seems like every other month they come out with a new lockboxes, and the chance to get the cool stuff that you really want is slim to none. And it's just it's really a money grab. I think. Well, you have to the game has to be able to pay for itself. So I understand it, right? But you got to go in the beginning when they first put the lockboxes out. I must have spent like $300. I shit you not. $300 on lockboxes to get a cool ship. And then I got yelled at it. Right, Antida? I got yelled at pretty bad.
No, you did not get yelled
yes,
at.
Yes, I did.
You did not. You were just really, really apologetic. And like, I didn't even realize I spent that much.
Well, I didn't. I didn't.
That was funny. But you kind of, in the beginning, did you not compare it a little bit to gambling?
It is. It's very addictive. It's very addictive, and I even, for Holosuite Magazine, I even wrote an article on it, you know, what my thoughts of lockboxes. This is the first time I ever came across lockboxes, right? And, like, you have a very, okay, every box is tied to a table, okay? So, you have the stupid little trinket stuff that is worth nothing, that has a very high percentage of drop. And then you have the end game, like this, like in that instance, I think it was Galatrix, help me out here. What was the first thing? It was like a bug ship, wasn't it?
I thought it was a Ferengi Marauder or something, wasn't it?
No, that came up with
something. It was maybe it was the Ferengi stuff Dropbox.
No, the very first one. I think it was wasn't it the bug ship? I'm thinking.
No, it wasn't the random thing. That was during the winter event. You had to buy a box for doing a race. So it wasn't actually a lock box.
Yeah, it was a random drop. You buy the it's still kind of a lock box.
They put one of the awesome ships. I do remember it was a question about ship because you really really wanted it, and people who got it sometimes they would get like two and they were selling it for a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, reselling it. So it was one of the cool ships, but it was not a Ferengi one.
Yeah, I think it was the bug ship. It was the very first one. I actually bought it on the, ended up like a couple months later buying it on the in-game auction house. Someone misprinted the price. I think it was like supposed to be 80 million and they put like 80,000. I'm like, stupid, got it, kind of thing. But you know, I'm not sure what the ship was, but I ended up spending over $300 on this box to get the chance to win this really cool ship because it's supposed to be rare one-off. And I ended up not getting it. And I think the second time I spent $150 on it on the next box because I was discouraged from the last one. And then I remembered, well, okay, you know, don't spend so much money. And by the time the third one came, I spent $50. Fourth one came, I spent my in-game stipend. And then I've decided never to buy lock boxes again.
You learned your lesson.
Yeah, I only use my in-game stipend when I'm on Star Trek Online. If there's nothing online on the store that I want to buy, I'll use my stipend and I'll lock like 10 keys to unlock 10 boxes. And if I don't get it, then I just move on. Did you have any bad or good opinions on lock boxes there, Galatrix? You know, any encounters you've had in like Star Trek Online or any other games?
I have to say, I don't think I've ever bought a lockbox. Well, that's not true. I have bought keys for the lockboxes, but I didn't actually spend my any real money on them. I spent my in-game stipend, you know, and I never won anything. So, you know, I don't buy them expecting to win something. I think it's like, if I have some like extra stipend points, I think, I'll just chuck those on keys and try my luck. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, put money in there expecting I will win something because you most often won't.
Yeah.
You're and probably that's better off winning the lottery.
And that's why I went and I, like, it to me, it joins up of gambling. You know, like, I put money down, but it's like Russian roulette. The dice or the ball could land anywhere. It could land on the actual prize that you want, or it could land on absolutely nothing.
And yeah, more often than not, it lands on something completely that, you know, is not of interest to you.
Exactly. But I would not want to see that. Hell, I just have to remember, there's no lockboxes in game, right? I don't remember seeing any.
No.
Oh, thank God.
There are not any in this game, no.
No, I would not want to see that. And especially the way Star Trek Online did it, because whenever someone opens up a lockbox and wins that rare prize, it goes on everybody's computer screen. So-and-so just won this ship. I'm like, yeah, good for you. You probably spent $130,000.
Yeah, the we get those messages in Neverwinter as well, and because that I think that there's a nightmare steed or something like that that's on fire, or you know, basically it's a holdover from the fell steeds in WoW. I guess they bought a bunch of extra ones or something. But they put them in these lock boxes, and I had some extra Zen or whatever it is for Perfect World left over apparently from when I was playing Stowe regularly, and so I decided, oh heck, I'll just buy one. And of course, you know, I got some green trinkets that, you know, were of reasonable value, but certainly nothing special, and that was probably going to be the end of it. I don't like to gamble. And I'm not saying that I haven't ever thrown quarters into a one-armed bandit, but the other thing is being assaulted by the constant, you know, so and so just got a Ferengi Marauder or whatever, yeah. In game is just beyond annoying. And I think at first maybe a cultural thing, because Perfect World is a Chinese company, and I guess little micro gambling is really, really popular over there. Oh, and yeah. In Asia, and so to them it's that might be kind of an incentive. Oh, so and so won a nightmare steed, maybe I should try, you know, throw my little nickels in or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how much it is, but here to me it's just, it's nothing but annoying, and actually ends up being a disincentive because you can't turn those announcements off.
Yeah, there's nothing like doing a show for Tribbles and Ecstasy broadcasting live from Club 47 here at Earth Space Dock. Ooh, Joe Blow just won, you know, Ferengi Marauder. Yay.
You know what's even more interesting about that whole Perfect World thing is if you actually go to their website, all those things that people win show up in their website. As well as if somebody joins a guild, you know it just by watching their website, which is very scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember reading an article about MMO trends and different play styles between East and West. And one of the things that they said about in the Eastern ones is not so much elitism, you know, having to have the best of everything, but it's more of reputation. There was someone there, I don't remember what it was, they paid, what was it, $430,000 for a sword that had flames, that flamed. It was a one-off thing, you know, they had, it didn't have like magical stats or anything, it was just a cool effect. And what would the word be, not elitism, but rep, I think street cred or rep, you know, like, you know that person, you know, he just spent, you know, $400,000 on a sword that you can't use in real life.
Right. I was going to say, you know, there are certain things that are luxury items here that, and of course it depends on who you're with, and the crowd you run with, but, there are certain things that you buy it and some people are like, wow, that's really cool. And then other people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that idiot spent that money on, you know, that basically show item, or, you know, and I'm not just talking, you know, flaming swords. I'm talking about, you know, expensive cars and, you know, expensive clothes and stuff like that, that, you know, normal people, so to speak, just look at them like they're, exactly. You know, he doesn't know how to handle his money because he just spent $430,000 on a computerized flaming sword.
Yeah, it's just like in, you know, that's not just the Eastern culture either. It's here in the Western, too, because, you know, like EVE Online.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, what was it, $75 for a monocle? A cosmetic, has nothing to do with the game, doesn't improve your stats or anything, but your character can wear a monocle. And it's like, the last I heard, it was like $75. And I don't know what the current price is, if it's gone up, if it's gone down. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of outroar, you know, on that itself when it first, and that just became like across the internet like a wild brush fire. I don't play EVE and I even heard about it, right? But yeah, a monocle, $75, and like the people at I don't remember what the company's name was, but the creators of Eve said, hey, you know, we understand, but guess what? It's a cosmetic piece, doesn't affect the game at all. If you should want to buy it, you can buy it. If you want to have it, save up your money and buy it. If not, it doesn't affect you, move on, kind of thing, right? So they kind of dabbled in that. So, yeah. I think it'd be like more like I guess the title would be like showboating or something like that. I wouldn't know what to actually call that. It's not elitism because you're not going for elite gear and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with the game.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, this is just my personal philosophy on it. There are some pretty rare, like card drops. Like there was like, I think a ghost, some kind of ghost mount in, WoW, that you could get through the WoW trading card game. That it was like a half transparent Night Saber, which is the Night Elf mount. Anyway, people were buying these cards, the card that represents the code to, you know, get the in-game item for $1,000 or more on eBay. And so you sit there and you go, you look at it, and like, let's say you won. You know, that is, you know, you bought the little pack of trading cards and in them was this, this mount. Okay. You only paid like $3 for it. And so, you know, it's really cool if somebody sees you in there that you got this mount and they're like, where'd you get that? And it was like, you know, it was a random card drop. Or I spend $1,000 on eBay for this thing. Or, I didn't. You know, I sacrificed a chance to get $1,000 out of some other idiot because I didn't sell it on eBay. See what I'm saying? So that was always a tension with myself. I even I bought for like 400 gold in the auction house one of those captured fireflies that was extremely rare. But I couldn't bring myself to keep it because I knew it was worth about twice that. And I ended up selling it on the auction house for about twice that and, you know, made myself a pretty penny, you know, an extra 400 gold. But that's kind of how I am. I think about, well, is this practical? What else could I get with it, with the money that could either earn by selling it or save by not buying it?
I think the proper title would be status. Not showboating, but status. You know you have status. It's like, you know, a rich guy, you know, pulls up in a limo that was actually a Hummer cut up in half and extended to be a limo. You know, that's status. I have money, you know, or, you know, some kind of social status. I think that would be kind of the way to go on about that. But speaking of stuff that you can get in game, we have a brand new segment tonight. And it's from yours truly, Rowan? No, I can't say that. It's coming from the one and only Rowan. Are you nervous?
Yes. I've already done it, so my nerves were yesterday.
Looking for lore in all the wrong places. If you're looking for lore, you come to the right place. I'll be bringing you lore every week, beginning with the Draug.
For many people, the worst kind of horror involves the dead returning to haunt the living as walking corpses. Many different cultures depict these implacable abominations, from West African Nzumbe to Chinese Jiangshi. It is eminently appropriate that one of the first challenges the players encounter in the secret world is the Draug invasion of Solomon Island. As you may know, the bulk of TSW was developed by a team led by Ragnar Tornquist at Funcom's Oslo, Norway facility, with input from teams in Montreal and Beijing. It is fitting that, for the first part of the game, they drew on a particularly creepy element of Norse myth, and combined it with Lovecraftian Eldritch horrors, which we'll cover in another segment. A Draug, or Draugr, is an undead creature from Norse mythology. The term Draug has come to be used to describe any type of ghost or animated corpse in Nordic folklore. Other names you may see around Solomon Island include Afterganger or Afterwalker, which are found in Vinterskog Woods and Norseman's Landing of the Savage Coast. Another term you may see is Haugui, or Tomb Dweller. Examples include the Haugui Jarl and Haugui Mother in the Wreck of the Polaris. The Draugar of Solomon Island are organized into clans with Old Norse names. For example, in Kingsmith, the Fager or Doomed Draug, the Fowler or Pale Draug, the Blodugr or Bloody Draug, and the Vidir or Willow Draug. In the Savage Coast, you will find Asker or Ash Tree Draug. Also, you'll find Svel or Swell Ocean Swell Draug. The Mordvig or Murderer Draug are also found in the Savage Coast. Up in Blue Mountain, you may encounter the Wrecker or Smoke Draug and the Dreyruger or Drinker Draug. The original Old Norse meaning of the word is ghost. However, Draugr has long since come to refer to the animated body of the dead, with similar physical abilities as in life. Unlike the zombies of popular culture, Draugr are self-willed and generally retain their personalities from life, if a bit twisted. Lothar fans may be interested to know that the Ninorsk translation of The Lord of the Rings used the term Draugr for both ringwraiths and the dead men of Dunharrow. Like the zombies in AMC's The Walking Dead and other stories, Draugr can be created through infection by another Draugr. We see this in the infection of the inhabitants of Solomon Island. In one Icelandic saga, a shepherd is assaulted by a Blue Death Draugr. The shepherd's neck is broken during the ensuing scuffle, and then rises the next night as a Draugr. The Draug of TSW were Norsemen who were caught by the filth as they departed Solomon Island after the Darkness War. Some perished at sea, others managed to return to their villages, perhaps in Greenland, where they infected the other inhabitants. The villagers abandoned their homes, drawn into the sea. They are the source of tales about ghost ships the world over, much like the crew of the Flying Dutchman, as seen in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, half barnacled, not truly living. The stories of restless dead coming in from the sea were common in northern Scandinavia. The Draug of the secret world followed the fishing trawler the Lady Margaret to Solomon Island after Joe Slater found a sword in a graveyard of ships filled with red seaweed and fog. The fog and the Draug followed the fishermen to the Solomon Island. The red seaweed now infests the sewers of Kingsmouth Town, along with Joe Slater, slowly turning into another Draug. Much like the barnacled and seaweed-laden Draugr of Solomon Island, more recent Scandinavian folklore associates Draugr with drowned sailors, with a distinctly human form, but the head covered in seaweed. In Norse sagas, Draugr possess superhuman strength and can increase their size at will and carry the unmistakable stench of decay. You can imagine that the stench on Solomon Island is almost overpowering. The Draugr's ability to increase its size also increases its weight, and the body of the Draugr is extremely heavy, like the enormous bloated form of the Asker Queen in Tolba Bay, or the Haugui Mother in the Polaris. The Draugr of legend are noted for having numerous magical abilities, such as controlling the weather, like the fog that envelops Solomon Island. They can also pass through solid rock, as shown by some of the combat abilities like Harpoon that strike through the ground beneath players. The Draugr slay their victims through various methods, including crushing them with their enlarged forms and indirectly killing them by driving them mad. They delight in the suffering that they cause. Individual Draugr have been known to haunt their living family members. As shown in various missions, particularly the player not the piece, obtained from Red in Eastern Savage Coast, there are limited ways to destroy a Draug. Only a hero has the strength and courage needed to stand up to so formidable an opponent. The preferred method is to cut off the Draugr's head, burn the body, and dump the ashes in the sea, the emphasis being on making absolutely sure the Draugr is dead and gone.
That was awesome.
Creepy. And I'm scared now.
A little bit.
I love the music in the background as well. Very, very nice. Very informative.
Well, thank you.
How long did it take you to catch all that lore? Because you're spanning all over Solomon Island and into the real world.
I looked up stuff. I might as well, because I didn't put it on the segment itself. I studied from or drew research from the regular Wikipedia article on the Draugr, as well as Wikia.com's version of the TSW wiki and Crygia.net, their wiki on the Draugr in game. as well as just general knowledge, like the reference to the Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was very awesome.
Well, thank you very much. It didn't take that long to record, but then, I basically spent all night last night on it.
It can be a daunting task.
Yeah, it is time-consuming.
Well, and it was funny because it was like really late when we finally came up with the intro. believe it or not, there is a guy, a furniture salesman on our local radio station that actually does sound just like that. He's like, I got your Lazy Boy furnitures right here.
Looking for lazy boys in all the wrong places. So now we have a backstory of the Draug, and I actually didn't know half of that, so either I wasn't paying attention during the missions or I was just completely oblivious. But I didn't know what the Pirates of the Caribbean was. Yay, super points.
Good for you.
And then from here, we're going to go on to Fee's Fashions.
I have one thing to say. You better work.
Hi, Fee here. This is Fee's Fabulous Fashion Weekly. And once again, I have my very special guest, Diva Delicious, with me. How you doing, Diva?
I'm doing great. How are you, Faye?
I am just... Faye, I'm Fee. Are you confused?
But you spell it like Faye.
You've had one too many to drink, I think. Sister, I told you don't drink before the show. But anyways... Today we're going to talk about hats. Do you know much about hats?
I do. I love hats, even though I don't think I look that good in them.
You don't? I bet you just look fabulous in hats. I know I look fabulous in hats. But we're not here to talk about how fabulous we are. We're talking about how fabulous the hats in the secret world are. And we're going to start off with this one. See, this is a beret. What are you thinking on this one?
I've always liked berets because I am one who loves things that are French or Italian, whatever you want to classify them as. And I think it looks good.
You do? Okay, well, let's get your thought on the next one. This is the bike helmet.
This one I'm a little confused because if they're not riding a bike, then...
Exactly! You can't even ride a bike in the game! Come on!
Wait, you can't?
No!
So what's the point of having a bike helmet?
Exactly! Next! Okay, we have the bowler hat. Kind of snazzy, kind of London-y.
I think it's okay. I think it's a little too tall for her head.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a top hat.
It does.
Now, if you think that looks too tall for her head, look at this hat. The conical hat. What is going on with this thing?
That's a little frightening.
Well, I know it's modeled after like a Vietnamese or a Chinese hat, but you can't even see this girl's eyes.
I know. How she sees.
Oh dear. We have cat interference on the show tonight. Say hello, kitty kitty. Meow. Go away. Thank you. All right. So that was your thoughts on the conical hat. Next, we have the fisherman rain cap. Now, this kind of looks, on this girl we're looking at, it kind of looks darky. What do you think?
I don't like it because her hair color is so dark and maybe just...
There you go again with the off-topic hair color.
Well, I'm just saying.
What hair color would go good with this hat?
Anything but that hair color.
Hello, this is a talk show, not a TV show. Could you tell what color that is?
The hair color is black and the hat is,
thank you,
is kind of beige.
So black and beige don't go?
No, I mean, they could go, but...
I got dark hair. I wear beige sometimes.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that it's that shade of beige.
Okay, fine. Here, the next one is the flat cap. Now, I don't know about you, but this kind of looks kind of like she's wearing a plastic hat.
I think it looks like she's wearing a giant rock on her head.
Okay. Let's move on to the military helmet. Now, this is kind of in vogue if you're into that whole camouflage thing.
I like camouflage, but I don't like the style of this hat. I feel like it's too rounded.
It kind of looks like the bicycle helmet, except for camouflage.
It does. I even see straps on the sides.
Oh, I see what you mean right there on the sides by her ear. Okay, only a couple more left. How about this pilot leader cap?
To be honest, I don't really like it.
You don't like goggles, is that it? You're not a goggle gal?
No, I like goggles. I'm just saying maybe if she had her hair not tucked into the hat.
Oh, there you go again about the hair.
I have a hair fetish.
Fine, it's not tucked in here. How's this sailor cap?
I'd like it better if her hair wasn't in a pony.
Oh, what am I going to do with this girl? Fine. Top hat.
I like the top hat.
Yay! What about her hair? I'm sure something's wrong with her hair.
Well, once again, I don't like it in the pony, but I mean, let's not get into that.
All right. Here you go. You got to love this fabulous turban. How about this?
Well, to be honest, I would like the turban if it was taller and maybe, like, purple.
Purple turbans?
Hey, there was a guy on American Idol who had a purple turban.
Oh, you and your TV. Rot your brain. How about this then? Bet this makes your brain rot, the unicorn visage.
You know I like this one.
Oh, you would.
It doesn't show her hair.
Oh, good golly. All right, the last one we got to share with you is the war helmet. What do you think about this? This is another pointy helmet. You like the unicorn. It's got pointy stuff.
I like this one.
Yay!
I think it looks kind of like an old style police hat.
It doesn't interfere with her hair.
No, her hair looks fine.
Oh, goody. All right. Well, we've gone through all the new hat styles. What do you don't know clearly work with stuff here? Yes, okay, fine. You're pointing out hair stuff again.
Finally, under the picture, it says note. Clearly, it does not work with Sep's hair.
Fine, whatever. You win. So this has been another episode of Faye's Fashion, Fabulous Fashion Weekly. And I've been Faye. See, you got me calling myself Faye, too. And I have been Fee. And you have been Diva Delicious. And we're signing out. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Always awesome.
So you guys had fun, huh?
Oh, yes, like always.
The cat also had fun.
Meow.
So, out of all these hats that popped up into the item store, have any of you guys purchased any of these?
Yes,
I'm wearing
purchased
one
two.
Now.
Uh-huh, so you got the bowler, and you have, the Vietnamese hat.
Yes, the Cogniter hat?
Cogniter?
Something like
Conical?
That. Conical? Yeah,
Conical. Conical.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm wearing, yes, of course, the desert one. And someone's going down my street with a bike that needs a tune-up.
And Galactrix, who had to step out, he was wearing a top hat.
Yeah.
And I have the war helmet on now.
The war helmet looks like I think I seen it before. Doesn't it come with like mastermind outfit?
Master planner.
Like for complete master planner.
Yeah, I think so. To me, it looks like I should be riding around on a motorcycle or something.
Yeah.
Well, definitely is like an old style, like Prussian or late 19th century hat or like World War One.
Yeah.
Just a side thought. But doesn't the sailor cap resemble the cap released with the Heat outfit?
Without the brim, yeah.
Cool.
Ah, see, my young Padawans, you're starting to see the insides of the game where things can get reskinned and altered to make other things. Ah, the more you know.
Unicorn's visage, horse head.
Yeah. Exactly. The flat cap that looks like a rock should not be shiny. Real flat caps are like tweed.
Yeah, I wanted to buy that, but it looked so plasticky. I think that was even what Galactrix said when we looked at them. And it was just like, no. I think I'm the only one of the bunch here that have not purchased anything yet. They just don't, I don't know, maybe they don't go well with my hairstyle. I just don't like even one single one that looks kind of cool on me.
Like, you look at the bike helmet, you know, well, it depends on the, depending on the people, you know, and what your preferences is and how you want to dress, right? You know, that these could be good for you, but, like, for me, for myself, like, I look at the bike helmet, it looks like an acorn, you know, like a, you know, I seen actually a Templar dressed up in a full suit, you know, like what Rowan's wearing right now with this on, and it actually kind of fit, right? And it kind of looked like he has wearing an acorn on his head. Now, when I seen the military helmet, I'm like, yeah, right on, a GI helmet. You know, I could wear this with my desert stuff. And then when I actually previewed it to take a look, there's no bill on it. Like, you know, where did they base this helmet off of? You know, like this, it looks like just a bowl to me. Honestly, to me, it's just a bowl. It is not like a GI helmet or maybe Canadian Forces. It's really no hell. It's a bucket. It's a brain bucket. And I suppose most there are a lot of militaries out there that just have brain buckets anyway. But it really does. They could have went for like a more of a fashionable or cooler looking helmet.
Well, and I have a friend who's got a motorcycle helmet that looks very similar to this. It's just straight down, like you said. There's no lip to the front or the back, the way there are on the helmets that I'm used to from the military.
Yeah.
It's funny. I just wanted to, I tried out the beret, and it looks, I think it's the only hat that I'm going to get. And a message came up. I don't know whether that's standard for clothing items. I would think it's specific to a certain piece of clothing, but there is a warning. Clothing items are gender specific and will only be unlocked for characters of the same gender, and that's for a beret.
Well, yeah. If you buy a beret on a female toon, they'll unlock it for other female toons.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. If you
can guys buy the beret? Can guys wear the beret?
Yes, it is available.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, why have this warning if the hat can be used by both male and female tunes?
Yeah, that might be a glitch, because I think that there are some... I mean, yes, there are some gender-specific hats, but a lot of times they are gender-neutral. You know, you can have it on either the... You know, kind of like all the decks... all the starter decks, at least, are gender neutral. I mean, obviously, they fit either your gender, you know, depending on what you are, they're fit to it. But, you know, you're like, if you're wearing the Kill Bill outfit, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a guy or a girl.
Yeah.
But
can you guys see if it's hat? Tipped.
No, we can't see previews, remember?
Yeah. So yeah, it may be that it's a different.
No, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it on you either.
Did you buy it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, no, we can't see it. I'm previewing some of the stuff here. Now, for the female beret, is it actually tilted?
There you go.
Now I see it.
Now, you see, for a female one, for a female beret, I would think it'd be tilted to the side like they wear, like, you know, a French beret tilted to
it
the side.
It is kind of tilted to the right. It is kind of, but not as much as it probably should have been.
And see, I'm previewing it on my character, and it basically has the same cant as it does on yours. You know, it's not any different. So I think the warning that you got may have been a glitch.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's just standard for all the clothing items that they put on.
Now the sailor, the pilot leader cap, I think is awesome. I really like that one. I won't buy
it. Yeah, me too.
I don't have an Air Force guy, but I think it's really cool for a military one.
Well, and see, ironically, I don't think it would fit that Air Force outfit that they put out last week.
Yeah, no, it won't. Now, if you came up with something else, like a special costume or whatever later on, or you made your own in the game by putting different parts together, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, because they have bomber jackets in the, like in... Mm-hmm. Pangea and stuff.
Yeah, now I'm also previewing the war helmet. Now if you take the brim or the brim of the war helmet and add it to here, I'll show everyone the magic behind the scenes. And if you add that to the sailor's cap, now those of you watching live stream, okay, boom, there's the brim right there. You see my little mouser on the brim. You add that to the sailor cap, you'll get a police uniform, the heat cap from the women's. You see, it's the same, it's almost the same thing. You just delete the little brim, and then you have a totally different hat. Reskin it, and you have the US, the TSWSE, whatever that's, the secret world SE.
Yeah, SEP. Sailor.
I didn't see, oh yeah, there's a P there, yeah. So I don't know what the SEP stands for, but yeah, TSW, the secret world, kind of cheeky, I got it. What about the SEP stands for?
Maybe we should ask Mortea.
Yeah, I think we should. And of course, the unicorn. Well, we had the horse head last week. Now, I'm previewing it right now, and I don't see the little sparkly action. But I seen someone running around yesterday in London.
It does have it, yeah.
And the unicorn, the tip of the unicorn, sparkles.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And oh, the other sparkles. Things.
Now I gotta get it.
Sparkly. It sparkles. Now, the other thing that was brought back into the secret world was the signet extractor. Now, I'll let Antita explain this. Because she so kicked our asses last week with it, so.
Yeah. I kicked your asses. It was just a general discussion, and I happened to hit the nail on the head. The signet extractor is back. They have fixed it with the latest patch. I believe it was a couple of days ago. So now people can use it. Their weapon skins will be left intact. And, yeah, it turns out that it is one-time use only. Sorry, that was my phone. So basically, you buy it for 360 points. You use it once to extract a signet, and it is consumed upon assembly. So you can only use it once. Be aware of that. So if you want to use it again, you have to spend another 360 Funcom points.
I'm not really kind of cool with that.
Boo.
That yeah. does seem a little excessive.
Yeah. Now, if it was a stack. Yeah, at
least to say that now as well. Just like the condenser of quintessence, if it's stacked to like at least 5, you know, or 3 for that price, it'd be cool. But it seems a little excessive for just one-time use to have it priced that way.
Now, if it was something like if they put that up for veteran points like we thought they should do last week for like 10 veteran points, I could almost deal with that, you know. That would have been a better idea. Put up, you know, you're only losing 10 veteran points, right? You're not actually spending hard cash on it. But I don't know. When you put... When
yeah,
you
but
put,
you
like,
wanted... Sorry, you would then want it to be like the Reconstructor to be a permanent fixture in your inventory?
Well, I think it should be a permanent. If you're to spend real money on it, this is the thing. This is the stopgate that I have, right? You know, if I'm going to spend real money on something, I want it to really stay. You know, if I'm going to spend real money on this extractor, I want it to stay. Or, you know, like the quintessence thing, you know, at least be stackable. Give me something, you know, I'm spending $5, might as well give me something that's going to last, you know, a little bit, you know. One-time use is kind of, no, I don't like that at all. But people are going to use it. People are going to buy it. Maybe you'll have a quality purple QL4 weapon that you like. They have, you know, a signet on it. But you want to keep that signet, you want to put a different one on because you want to do a different, you want to do some kind of a new build. So you take that signet out and you put this one new one in. But it's far easier in the long run to sit there and grind out to get another QL4 weapon and then boom, grind, then get the new purple signet. That is good for some people. It's a lot easier and cheaper for people. But I don't know, when you make stuff that comes out with real money, that's when I'm like, no, I'm never going to buy this. They will not get my money for this, no way, no how. Not for one-time use. And 10 stack, like a 10 stack, you can use it 10 times, then I would say, okay, that's better.
Would you then be prepared to pay a little bit more for it?
No. No.
Okay.
No. Not at all. But here is the thing. Here is the thing. Now, you know, the TSW update came out. 1.6.3.2 came out in May. Now, this is the thing, okay? You can go and you can buy it from the item store, all right? Or if you want to have fun, Nightmare Dungeon end bosses now have small chance to drop the Signet Extractor or a Condenser of Quintessence. So you can actually win them in-game. So, you know, just like the toolkits, the gadget kits, the glyph kits, stuff like that, they're adding them to the nightmare bosses. The big boss at the end, they're adding them to their drop table. So not only can you get, you know, quality 10 purple gear or other drops, you can also have a chance to actually get this as a drop. The Signet Extractor and the Condenser of Quintessence. Now, that, since you can actually get them in-game for free, kind of, you know, yes, I'm cool with that. It doesn't quite stack up, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, to actually spending real-world money on it and only getting one-time use. But, yes, if you can actually win them in-game, I'm actually kind of cool with that. The fact that you can win them in-game.
Yeah, it might be that this is what they originally intended to do. Just to have it as a drop in a game. But then, you know, they figured, well, maybe someone might find it useful. Or what they said before when they released it initially, they thought it was a cool item to have and they thought people might want to have it sooner. So that's why they released it in the item store. So maybe that's the whole thing, you know, like you said. You can get it in both ways. You can either A, pay for it, or B, play the game and possibly get it from a Nightmare Dungeon and boss.
And I am cool with that. Now, let's check out Faye's big deck.
Hello, friends. Have you ever been out slaying monsters with a friend, and you get your deck lined up to penetrate the armor of a foe? Just to have your friend jump in front of you with his superior deck and pound that monster ever so quick and hard that you didn't even see it coming? Well, I'm here to tell you, I've been in that very same uncomfortable position, and it made me angry that my deck did not stand up to my friends. To avoid an embarrassing situation, listen to FaZe Big Deck, where I'll help you understand the deepest unknown features of your deck, so that you will be able to lift your head up high the next time you are out with your friends. I hope you will listen to FaZe Big Deck on Beyond the Veil live every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, or check us out through hollowsweetmagazine.com. Hello and welcome to FaZe Big Deck, where today we're going to start talking about the Maverick deck. But before we can do that, since we talked about swords once before, now we got to talk about the starter abilities of Pistol. Pistol's broken up within two different things. One's called Armed, and one's called Dangerous. So we're going to start off with Armed. And the first ability in the Armed is the Business. This builds one resource for each equipped weapon, a single target attack that hits three times, dealing 16 physical damage per hit. The next ability is a passive. It is Magnum. The Business also causes the target to become weakened by a single stack of corrupted effect, which reduces the effectiveness of heal, barrier, and leech effects by 5% per stack for 10 seconds. This effect can stack up to 10 times. The next one is inactive. It's called Shootout. This consumes all, that's all, meaning 5 pistol resources. It is a channel focus attack that deals 42 to 62 physical damage per hit based on the number of resources that is consumed. Well, that's kind of tricky. First, it tells us it consumes all pistol resources, but now it just says if you have one pistol resource versus 5, it will just consume the one and do less damage. The next ability is a passive, Coup de Grace. Whenever an enemy dies with your pistol resources remaining, up to 3 friends in 5-meter radius around that enemy are healed for 52. That's not too shabby. The next ability is Drone Kit. Once again, this consumes all pistol resources, summons a drone that will follow you around for 20 seconds. Every 2 seconds, it will fire at the closest enemy within 5 meters and deal 11 to 23 physical damage, based on the number of resources consumed. The next ability is Straight Shooter. This increases damage dealt by pistol abilities by 10%. And finally, in the Armed Tree, we have Dirty Tricks. This is an AoE that affects up to 5 enemies in a 5-meter radius around the targeted point. An attack that deals 134 physical damage. Affected targets also become hindered and unable to move for 4 seconds. Now we're on to the Dangerous Tree. And the first ability is a passive, known as Hothead. Whenever you applied Hindered, where did we just hear that, people? Dirty Tricks. Whenever you apply Hindered, you gain the minor critical chance effect, which increases your crit chance by 10% for 8 seconds. So not only are they hindered, you're doing more damage to them for 8 whole seconds. Now we have Above the Law. This is the first active in the Dangerous Tree. Places an area effect that affects up to 5 enemies at a 5-meter radius around the targeted point every second for 10 seconds. It builds 1 resource for each equipped weapon on each target in an area when placed. A persistent AoE attack that creates an area on the ground dealing 7 physical damage or 8 physical damage to targets that are hindered. The next one is a passive, Vigilante. Increases the duration of Above the Law by 5 seconds. The next one is Deadly Aim. Gives all group members a beneficial effect that increases critical chance by 40% for 10 seconds. The next one is Calling the Shots. Reduces the recharge time of Deadly Aim by 30 seconds. The next one is Wanted. This is a chain attack that jumps up to 3 meters 4 times, hitting up to 5 enemies. This also consumes all pistol resources. This is a chain attack that deals 61 to 121 physical damage based on the number of resources consumed. The last one on the Dangerous Tree is Rapid Getaway. Whenever you activate any resource consumer, you gain a beneficial effect that increases your movement speed by 15% for 5 seconds. And once again, this has been the pistols. And next week, we are going to be talking about a pistol and sword build called the Maverick. Thanks for listening to FaZe Big Deck.
Yay! I like listening to FaZe Big Deck.
Yay.
He's like, I'm sick of it.
Aw, don't be sick of it.
But you were, you actually have a lot of other cool decks as you're coming down the pipeline, because we've been testing a lot over the past, 3-4 weeks now, doing all these elite dungeons. You know, some of these dungeons we're doing in Elite, we're only 4 manning them, you know, or there's only 4 of us doing them when normally you're supposed to have 5. So these decks you're coming up with.
Badass.
Super points! Yeah, so we're having a hell of a time, you know, going through these different decks and everything and testing them out. So I can't wait for you to explain the Maverick to us. And I have that one too. Yay!
Oh, good. Yeah, next week I'll be talking about the Maverick.
Well, that's going to be it for... Yeah, that is it for the show, right? I didn't forget anything, did I? Totally, totally unprofessional moment.
No.
I always forget stuff like my name.
Well, come on. As soon as we get off, we'll be like, oh, we should have talked about this.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. There's always the website. We can always put additional info there.
Yay! Uh-huh.
And don't forget what happened last time.
Oh, there is one thing that we forgot.
I know. Last time on Beyond the Veil.
No. Hold up. Because it's going to happen before we actually have our next live show. Just a reminder to everyone that the Secret World is doing the PvP tournament on the 19th, which is this coming Sunday. So in 3 days' time, you can still put your name up for the competition. There's about 20, 21 people who have already signed up.
Nice.
Already. And I think Illuminati's are in the lead with the majority. I'm actually quite surprised. There's only 2 dragons that I currently see on the list.
The rest of them are in PvP. Eldorado.
Yeah, a couple of those people that are on that list that are dragons probably killed you in PvP this weekend.
And I killed someone.
No, you assisted killing Master.
Okay, assisted or not, I still red missed you all over the face.
And I appreciated it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But anyway, for those of you who are interested in PvP or maybe even interested in taking part in this competition,
or betting,
that's right, because you can bet on who is going to win first, second, or third place. You can find more information on the forums.
So let's find out what happened last week on Beyond the Veil.
Last time on
Beyond the Veil, the secret world.
Because it's not over the top yet, it's not under the radar, but it's right in your face, and we're going to give it to you right in the face.
I think my face hurts.
Your face hurts too? I know my face hurts a lot.
Yeah, you guys had quite some fun right before the show, didn't you?
That didn't sound good. That didn't sound good. So be sure to go to Holosuite Media, or edit that part out there.
Last time.
Be sure to go to holosuitemagazine.com to download this episode, and to go to iTunes there. If you're an iTunes person, you can catch up with Beyond the Veil there on iTunes. If you have any questions or comments or stuff you'd like to talk to us about, or if you have ideas for Faye's big deck, or now, if you have any interesting lore that you'd like to share with Rowan, please send an email to beyondtsw@gmail.com. And I am Xander, your host, and on behalf of...
Wait, I have one last thing. Before you completely sign off. Okay. So you may or may not have noticed that I switched characters really quick and discovered, much to my dismay, that the bowler hat is not available. The bowler hat that I'm wearing is not available on my female character.
No.
So Antita was correct that, and I was not correct. It's not just a glitch.
So they are gender specific. Some are probably available to both, but some are not.
Well, no, I mean, I could have bought the bowler hat for her and worn it, so I don't think in that sense they're gender specific, but for whatever reason, the way they have it coded, the hat is either the female beret or female bowler hat, or the male beret or the male bowler hat, apparently.
Intriguing.
Which helps me make decisions about some larger outfits that I've been considering.
Hey, but on a side note, you can also catch us on Twitter. The handle is @BeyondTSW. So hit us up with a tweet.
Hit us up and we'll shout you out. That makes sense. Yes. But yes, I am Xander. On behalf of me and the cast, we bid you adieu, and we'll see you next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Holosuite Live Access and later on the website. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh,
there is me.
Bye, everybody.
Diva Delicious.
And Diva Delicious.
Y'all come back now, I hear.
And it's the Lazy Boy guy. I want a Lazy Boy now.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
You are now listening to Beyond the Veil.